Shay Coulet. Oh, my goodness. Hello. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing fantastic up in windy old Chicago. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm coming to you from a closet in Los Angeles. It has better sound.
You know, hey, I'm here in my little cozy living room.
Hello, 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 squirrel friends. I'm John Pauly, a producer on RuPaul's Drag Race and a Drag Race historian. And welcome, welcome, welcome to the 2021 edition of the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. Or as we like to call it...
She not ready to hear hers.
Brought to you by World of Wonder and VH1, this podcast takes you deep inside the big, pink, furry box that is every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13 and RuPaul's Drag Race UK Season 2. Whew, it's a lot. Each week, I am joined by RuPaul's Drag Race icons, i.e. the queens who have made history, to talk about these seasons and their own Drag Race experiences. So thank you for listening. And warning, because there's going to be what?
Spoilers.
Ding, ding, ding. So consider yourself warned. And to keep up, make sure you watch RuPaul's Drag Race every Friday on VH1 at 8 p.m., 7 Central. Or you can watch pretty much anywhere else in the world on WOW Presents Plus. Now, having said that, today I am very honored to be joined by RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 5 winner and all-around legend and the mayor of Chicago, Shay Coulet.
Woo! I know, I never get sick of hearing that. Winner.
Hello, born winner. Always, always and forever.
I mean, honestly, it's the first time, no joke, I've competed a lot in my life, but All-Stars 5 was the first time I ever won anything, and it was probably the most satisfying and validating win of my life. I could lose from here on out and be totally fine.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but also... Well overdue and well deserved.
Thank you.
Stunning. Glad to hear you're fine. But most importantly, I'm very curious, how's your mom?
My mom is doing great, actually. She just got a new refrigerator, you know, really interesting stuff. So she's, you know, enjoying that.
Well, I bring her up because, well, I'm a fan from back to season 9. But also, I want to know, what did she think? The last time we saw you, you had that beautiful dress on the runway for the finale that was an homage to her prom dress. That was your amazing look. Yeah. How did she respond to that? What did she think when she saw? What did she say about that?
First of all, she was just like so taken aback by it. She was just so honored because I didn't tell her that I did that. But no, she definitely now, anytime she sees like a pink ball gown, she was just all like, I think that they were inspired by my look.
And she's right. And she's right. Oh my God. Now she just needs one to match and you all can just hit the town. Well, or hit, you know.
Right, you know, we can hit the backyard. That's about as far as we can go right now. But you know what? Honestly, I feel like it's a dress for all occasions. You know, sometimes you can feel elegant even in your own backyard.
I believe. I also just want to say thank you for your, throughout the All-Stars 5, you were such a beacon of like positivity and like, I don't know, beauty and talent and awareness. And like in a time when we were really needing it. I mean, this whole year, like Drag Race has been, feel like a great sort of moment of brightness throughout it all, but especially you and your journey. So well done, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. You know, and honestly, we filmed All-Stars before all this went down. And I also have to say that attitude is like a real testament to my mom, because she is growing up, she just always was like, always act out of love and kindness to others, because you don't know what other people might be going through. So just no matter what, just like always be kind and loving to people, even if they're not being kind and loving to you. So I know that she's a fan of the show. So if she's going to be watching me, I have to make her proud.
With the wisdom of Marilyn, thank you.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk today. We're going to talk because there is a lot of Drag Race happening. We're going to talk both the third episode of season 13 and, oh my goodness, the premiere of Drag Race UK season 2.
I know. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Also, I'm just, we're going to get to it, but like watching UK season 2, that premiere, it is just so much color and vibrancy and fun.
I know. Those girls really, they're a hoot. And I have been so excited for this season. And for it to finally be here is just amazing. And they did not disappoint.
not at all. So, but first, let's talk about episode 3 of season 13, because it's time for the Pork Chop Girls to get their moment and do the thing.
Yes.
Now, who do you know? Who are you close with in this cast?
Well, I know Kamora Hall. I've known Kamora for a long, long, long time. So I know her and I love her. Got mad respect for her. Also know Miss Denali Fox from Chicago. She is a sweetheart. You know, she's just like the nice girl on the playground. I enjoy her. So it was unfortunate in the premiere episode to see them not be able to carry through and successfully win their lip syncs. However, I'm really excited that now we get a chance to see the girls that got the pork chop, because I feel like they're definitely have a fire under their butt now.
Yes, no, they're fantastic as well. It's like, I mean, the whole cast is kind of sparkling. So I want to know, what kind of chip would you have on your shoulder if you were in this group? Like, do you feel like they have to like fight back or overcome some sense of like, y'all may think we're losers, but we're going to show you? Or what kind of like feelings would you be having?
I'm not a chip on my shoulder type of gal. Now, I would understand the frustration, especially for like some of the really, really, really talented queens that are in this bunch, to like not be able to have a successful or good first week. However, personally, I have always been a fan of the competitors who in the beginning aren't really looked at as being strong competition, but then have like a really lovely blossoming journey. So just knowing that these girls had a rough start, I'm excited to see how they're going to go about doing the rest of the competition now, because they're going to have to be really strategic to stand out against the other six who won their lip syncs.
True, true. But the thing is, in a Drag Race, you never can tell. Like, people rise and stories emerge and people hit their stride. It is anybody's guess from day one.
It really is. So now, it really is.
So this group, they come back into the workroom ready for their moment. It's Joey J, Denali, Tamisha Iman, Utica, Rosé, and Kamora Hall. And I love from the get, they're like, you know, the little morning chit-chat, but they're like, they at least claim to be cuter than the other group.
Yeah, they're definitely like, well, at least we got all the trade here. And there are definitely some cuties in that group, which I guess goes to show that, you know, you can't always judge a book by its cover.
Hey, who's the cutest?
I'm going to say Joey J. Love those dimples. They're really cute.
I love that Ru walks in and Ru is like, welcome to RuPaul's Drag Race, the emotional roller coaster edition. Very, very that. And right away, they are told you're going to get ready for a mini challenge fashion show. Like, boom, looks, present, let's get moving. Does that excite you?
Oh, absolutely. I love the little mini fashion shows.
And they have, like, you know, as usual, Drag Race, there's no time. So they got to get ready in like about an hour or so. Mm-hmm. And from the jump, we see Kamora is going through it. What's happening with her?
Girl, beauty can't be rushed, but today it will have to.
Girl, listen, you are a beautiful woman, but it does not look like you're wearing 5 hours of makeup.
Exactly.
It's not caked on.
I'm that good at blending, huh?
I like to just splat it on and be done with it.
It's like a process for me, you know? It's a very spiritual transformation. I like to take my time.
Since we're on Drag Race, it's not called Drag Walk.
Yeah. See, okay. So we all know, well, the girls in Chicago know that Kamora is a queen that loves to luxuriate, loves to take her time doing the transformation, even though, like, when you think about the canvas that is Kamora Hall, like, she already has so many cards stacked in her favor. Like, she really doesn't need that much. So I think that's why the other girls are all like, how can it take you that long when you're already so delicate and feminine and soft and have like the smallest pores known to man? But I think for her, it's more about just like the process. But definitely RuPaul's Drag Race, like, you got to understand that it is unlike anything else that you will ever experience in your life. So I would say, if you think that you can achieve something in 2 hours, just know that you're only going to have 45 minutes to do that. So I was like, okay, girl, hopefully she can pull it through.
Were you ever like crazy late for a runway or just like crazy stressed?
Yes, it would be episode 2 of season 9, the Princess Challenge, where we all had to make our looks. And a lot of people don't know this, but like, girl, those scissors were all dull. Like, we were really struggling. It was like prison in there. We were passing around like a pair of scissors between like 4 girls trying to make it work. And I remember I was like getting ready, and like all the girls were a lot closer to being ready than I was. And we were literally about to walk onto the runway. And Mandy actually turned to me and she basically told me in very few words that I needed to get my ass together or there'd be some consequences because Rue waits for no one. And I guarantee you, I still say to this day, people will comment on being like, hey, you know, you're always so timely and professional. Like, that's great. And I literally always reference that moment. I said, I got yelled at on Drag Race once and I've never been late again.
Oh my God. And we should clarify, that was Mandy, who's like the showrunner. She's like the boss.
Yeah, she's the boss. So I was like, okay, never again.
Oh my God. And like quickly, who among other girls, like say in that season, who is the most late Drag Race girl, period?
Valentina. Yeah, we love her. We love her telenovela fantasy. She's always, her and Kimora are like of the same school of drag where they love to luxuriate. They love the transformation. Like, that's the part that they enjoy the most. So they like to take their time with it.
I know. I love Valentina so much. But yes, I mean, that's exactly who I was thinking. But thank you for confirming.
Yes.
Okay, so it starts. They're doing a lady-like look and then a vamp look. So it's kind of day and night. Who did you love? Who stood out for you in like the lady in the first half?
Right away, Rosé.
I'm not usually a queen who tends to be ladylike, but bitch, I feel like a woman right now. And my ass has a huge secret.
Ose. Who's Ose?
Oh! She saw this in the store and said, oh, it has my name on it.
I absolutely loved the Moschino reference. Loved the way that they went about hand painting it and then also doing a little bit of creative branding with the bag and like the little reveal in the back. That outfit alone to me helped me to understand why Rosé looked so pissed on the first episode. I was like, on that outfit alone, I was like, okay, I can understand why she'd be mad, because I would want to show that too. And then in addition to her, I would have to say I really loved Tamisha's look. I just thought that it was just so stunning and so classy. And I love a harem pant too. I think pants in drag like have to be done in such a specific and clever way. And they were done just right. They were cut so beautifully. So those two were definitely my two faves of the daytime.
Agree. And as Tamisha tells us, she's even spritzed on some Chanel. She is prepared.
Oh, and you know what? And that's my kind of bitch too. Let me tell you, I love a girl that gives the full fantasy, because I also love to put on my like Maison Margiela perfume or my Gucci bamboo. And let me tell you, when people see you at the gig and they're like, oh my gosh, you smell good too. I'm like, it is a full sensory experience. Get into it.
Can I tell you, one of the best smelling drag queens is Jessica Wilde. Whenever I would run into her or see her, she just smells fantastic. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the fragrance is. Just putting it out there in the world. If you see Jessica, be polite. Just keep your distance safely. But hopefully you get a whiff, because she always just smells like delightful.
Honestly, absolutely. I agree 100%, because like I have literally done shows with her at Mickey's where we were like changing near where they make the chicken tenders and french fries, and everything is smelling like hot grease. But yeah, Jessica Wilde is over here smelling like a field of flowers. Like, it's just amazing.
The best smelling gal in the business.
Yes.
Oh my God. And then Kimora does make it. I mean, she's, you know, she was just waiting for her tea to brew or something.
Yes, exactly. She's like, it needed a lot of time to steep.
She was steeping. And then we get to the nighttime look, the VAMP vamp look. And who popped for you on this one?
I'm going to have to give this one to Rosé again. That Alexander McQueen reference. I want to say that was like one of the first like two or three collections that Sarah Burton did after McQueen passed. Was it in 2010 or 11? And that collection to me is just everything. Naomi Campbell started that campaign. It just was beautiful. And like, here we are like 10 years later, almost, with it being referenced again. And I just absolutely loved it. It was tailored to perfection. She looked like $1 million. And I really have no critiques about it at all. I thought it was amazing.
And I love that these girls are bringing their own like Moschino references. There's Kimora is giving you Mugler. Like,
yes. The girls are bringing it.
Yes. And I also love, not to just only dwell on Ramona Rosanna and Tamisha, but whatever. I love that Harry J. Blige.
Tamisha, Iman.
All right, Miss Harry J. Blige.
This is the hairway to heaven.
You want it vamp? I'm giving you the vampiest of vamp, Elvira. I took it to the next level, though, because in Atlanta, we like weed. We like long hair. But if I'm going to do a hair costume, I'm going to do a full hair costume. So I'm rocking 84 inches on this runway. I am totally the diva of the night.
She's not just the hair club president.
She's also a client.
Again, Tamisha, like, really, really served it. And I love that she was just like, you know, this is a vampy runway, so I'm going to serve you the OG vamp, Elvira. And she's like, and I'm going to give you a twist, and I'm going to put some Atlanta hair show realness in there. Like, what I love about Tamisha is the authenticity that comes through in her drag. It's just always on point.
Yes, agree. And props to all the other gals. There were some other wonderful looks, but we are moving on, because speaking of Tamisha, we go back to the workroom and we start learning, you know, this is the part where people are de-dragging. We're learning about them. Tamisha has done over like 9,000 pageants. Well, 200, she says.
It might as well be 9,000.
And she's, you know, they're talking about how old are you? How old are you? She's 49 and she is actually a mother.
Yes, three biological children. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm like, how has Tamisha in her 49 years like managed to live more than RuPaul Charles? Like, it's wild.
Tamisha's a busy lady.
She is a busy lady. I'm just like, how big is that minivan? You know? She's just rolling around in Atlanta in her town and country picking up all those kids.
Apparently. Oh my God. Well, you know, she's, have you seen her welcome mats that she has produced? The lady says, go home.
Yes, absolutely. And let's talk about the Tamisha sneakers. Like, you know, I love a good merch game, but ain't nobody out there doing it like Tamisha. Y'all, like, the other girls need to step the pussy up.
Honestly. And then Ru pops in and sets up the maxi, which is the classic Drag Race challenge. It's like, you're going to write a verse to one of Ru's songs. You can do your own choreo, perform the whole damn thing. It's a lot. You know, so we see them in the workroom. They're talking about writing lyrics, who's a dancer, who is not. And it's that classic thing where, like, if you are a choreographer, how much do you reveal of that? Do you, like, I guess it's all dependent on your approach to the game. Do you, you know, blur it out? I'm gonna choreograph everything. I'm great at this. I'm going to do this. Or do you sit back and be like, what's your take on that?
As someone who has been, like, the choreographer on their team in seasons past, twice. I think that it's important to lean into your skills, but also understand that it's a team challenge and know that, like, true collaboration is not just like mashing all your different ideas and perspectives together, but like really discovering something that would not have happened without all of those people and ideas and points of view in the room. So I felt like, firstly, not jump back to like last week, you know, Elliot with two T's like played it really down and didn't say anything. And I was like, girl, why are you doing that? Because first of all, the girls all voted you off and this is your chance to show them what you're made of, you know?
Yeah.
And so then we had Tamisha this time who's like, I ain't going to say nothing to these girls because, you know, I don't know. And I was like, okay, you know, you can play it a little safe. But then what happened is we had, you know, Denali and Rosé and Joey J that were all like really, really trying to take that leadership position. And I could tell that it was getting a little tense and difficult for them because I know what it's like doing those on-camera rehearsals. And like I said, it all feels a lot shorter. You know, what you think you could do in 2 hours, you got to do in like a quarter of that time. So I was like kind of worried about those girls if they were going to be able to pull it off.
I know. And I love that, like, if Kimora's struggling, they're like, well, you know what? We're just going to lift you up. Like, literally, spiritually. Yeah.
And that's, you know, hey, I love that. That's teamwork. We did that for Angina during All Stars, during the I'm in Love song. She was feeling insecure about her voice being gone. We're like, okay, girl, we'll just, like, lift you up. And let me tell you, Shea Coulee don't lift up no other bitch. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's when you know girls are, like, really trying to play to be, like, good teammates. And you can definitely kind of feel that camaraderie amongst these girls.
Yes, yeah, completely. And then we see that, you know, it is that moment of like, oh, can we do this? Anyway, next day, we'll find out. Next day, they come prancing into the workroom, they're getting ready. And we learn that Tamisha is a mother of her own dynasty. She not only has children, she has like tens and tens and tens and tens of drag children. She's the mother of the House of Iman, and including one legendary queen who is... I'm talking about the Tandy Iman Dupree moment.
Oh yes, Miss Tandy. Oh yes. How can we forget about Miss Tandy Iman dropping from the ceiling for Hero?
Yes, I mean I feel like that was one of the first, like, that was like early YouTube too.
Yes, that was like very early YouTube viral drag moments. And I remember too, during season 9, because Hero was the second, was it the second lip sync? I think so. Aja made a joke about if she could get up to the rafters to drop down to do a split for the number to save herself.
She better. But you know what? People talk about that video and that entrance. But also, if you watch that full video, later on in the video, her cohort on stage, who's dressed as Superman, picks her up and flings her across the entirety of the stage. Yes. And she somehow lands and slides. It's as amazing as the entrance. So don't sleep on the moment later in the video where she is thrown completely across the room.
There's something so special about a slide split, because I know that it will be something that I will never achieve in my mortal life that I just like live for.
Yeah. And after that, you know, after the Tandy Iman Dupree, it's all downhill. People just pay homage and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's main stage time, and RuPaul comes out in this gold orange dress. We greet the judges, who are Michelle Ross and Nicole Byer. Have you met Nicole Byer? Have you done anything with her?
I have met Nicole Byer just briefly during All Stars when we were doing the room challenge. She wasn't one of the judges that walked through like my room, but I actually just stood on the side of the set and whispered, "I love you, Nicole." And then she turned around, she said, "I love you, Shay." And my life was made.
Yes, that's right. Cause you had Ross in the Golden Girls bed, excuse me, in the Golden Palace.
Yeah, I have Ross and Michelle.
and then Nicole had to lay on the floor.
Bless her heart, under that mosquito net, looking up at the quote unquote stars.
While Jujubee just sat there and ate a banana.
Ate that banana.
Oh my God. Okay, so it's time for this big old phenomenon number. We're going from Russia to the UK, Thailand to Paraguay, Vegas, New York, LA. I just like saying all that. I love a song that just gives you geographical shout outs.
Same. What is so satisfying about that? I don't know.
It works every time. It makes us all feel very jet set or something.
Yeah.
So they come out, they do the song, there are flips and splits and drops, and there's lots of walking and pointing. Who stood out for you in this performance and in the song?
I would have to say Denali really, 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 really brought it. Denali's rap was really strong. You could hear her clearly. The dance moves were tight. They were really sharp, really clean. I also really, really loved Tamisha's rap. I thought she brought it. I know the judges had some critiques about her energy. However, I will say, as somebody who just came back from cancer, I will give her a pass, baby, because she was up there doing it, you know. And then really, really close for me next, because like these three girls, they really, really did it for me. Next would be Rosé. I thought Rosé did a really fantastic job, and it was nice to get to hear some of those singing chops.
Yes, yes. And whose look did you like? Was anybody's look a standout for you in the performance?
In the performance, I would actually have to say my favorite one was Utica. I just really loved it because I thought that it really, really played on her personality. She had like fun fringe, so it's like really cute. It moved well. So I would have to say Utica.
Well, good, because that was mine too. I love her, that kind of like shaggy 80s aerobics. Yeah. She's like an aerobics instructor in a really upscale 80s video.
Yes, absolutely.
Kind of like slutty and professional all at the same time. And I would trust her with my, like, I was gonna say with my body. Oh my.
Well, you know, she loves Jesus. You know, it'd probably be the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Oh my goodness. And then there's a runway. They have, you know, they do the song. There's a non, 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 non. And then we get a runway. And the theme is we are sheer. Wait, sorry. The theme is we're here. We're sheer. Please get used to it.
Yes.
And who popped for you in these runway looks?
Okay. It's going to have to be Tanisha for me, for the sheer runway. I just really thought Tanisha nailed it. And I always love someone who can change my mind because I have always had an aversion. Like, I've really hated glitter dot fabric. I've just always hated it. And yet Tanisha took something that I dislike and put it up on a pedestal and talked about it, you know, about she's just like this fabulous glitter dot. And I was just all like, you know what, if it's fabulous enough for Tanisha, it's fabulous enough for me.
Well, I think you need to commission a Tanisha Amon original, you know, when she when she has time.
Yes, you know, she is busy with her amazing shoes. So, you know, I'm sure once she takes a break from her super successful sneaker line, she may have time to fit in a commission for little old Shay.
Thank you. And I will say, Kimora looked so good, too.
Yes, Kimora looked amazing as well. I absolutely loved that gown on her. One critique, I was not a big fan of, like, the really dark, heavy root on the hair. But besides that, I thought she looked stunning.
Noted. And then what did you think? Because we're going to talk about it in the critiques. Michelle, well, we're just going to go there. Michelle speaks to Joey J about hair and presentation of hair. What's your take on the Wigamoris of it all?
Okay. So now that I've had the opportunity to see Joey J without a wig and four different looks, little like Joey J wigless incantations, and this is my opinion. I want to see Joey do more with being wigless. Each time we just kind of get that little flip. What is that style? Like the little flip or duck butt or just like the little style that they have going on with like the.
Yeah, she's got like a little snow cone custard on the front of her head.
Yes. Okay. So like maybe like. One time, switch that up and do a finger wave or add a couple extensions and like slick it back and like do something to it because like that style in and of itself is not impactful enough to carry off all the drag with like the makeup and the clothes, in my opinion. So I understand what the judges are saying. And I feel like if Joey is going to go wigless, then they need to show versatility with the lack of wigs instead of just the same style. See,
these are points and tips from a winner. People listen up. And I agree. I agree absolutely.
Yeah, you know, there's ways.
And by and large, you know, the judges give everybody, you know, it's a pretty good amount of love. They do tell Kimora they want her to pop more, just kind of like, you look amazing. They just want a stronger presentation. They're saying she needs to come to life.
I felt like Nicole Byer nailed it on the head when she was just all like, you know, when you go to the store without a list. And you're just like, you know, just kind of looking around. And I understand because I always go to the store without a list and just come out with what the fuck. So, and as someone who knows Kimora, and knows like the vibrance of Kimura's personality, I understand that the judges are starting to get like a little bit of blue balls and want to like get the release of seeing Kimura bring out her personality.
Agree. I mean, and even when they talk to her, she gives like a little spunky response. You know, it's there. They just want to have her to bring it.
Oh, yeah, when they're talking about all her competition, she goes, where? You know, like that's the Kimura I know.
Very, very. And then we learned that you've been talking about Utica. We learned that she's a Seventh-day Adventist. Jesus is A-OK with her. So I'm excited to bring, you know, and I do like this kind of bright positivity she's bringing to things.
Mm-hmm. You know, look, what can we say? The little Christian kids always turn up to be just the sweetest drag queens.
Well, until they're not. But. Oh, my God. And they give Tamisha lots of love for that dress. Rue says it is one of the best dresses ever to grace the stage.
I mean, it is just absolutely, it was stunning. And Tamisha looked beautiful in it.
But what I want to land on is Ross almost gives Rosé the critique that her look was crafty. Mm-hmm. However, he pauses. And why do you think that is?
I don't know, John. Why do you think that is?
No, but I love it. But yes, because we are flashing back to All Stars 5, your three-way reveal look and that beautiful moth creation that you presented. Mm-hmm. And Ross, he had a moment where he was like, considered it possibly crafty. And apparently people begged to differ and let him know.
You know what? I just want to say shout out to all my fans. Thank you so much for bullying Ross Matthews to the point that he is so afraid to use the word crafty on RuPaul's Drag Race ever again. You guys are so powerful.
Oh my goodness. And then Nicole even like fires back right away too.
Because Nicole was actually a judge on that episode. So she was there for that moment.
See? So,
and I remember her when he called it crafty, her like looking at me like, I don't agree with that. I'm not co-signing on that. She knew then and there that it would be a problem.
Oh my God. See, Drag Race fans.
She knows. Yes.
Power of words. We're all learning.
Yes, we are. One day at a time.
Yes. And then, okay. Turns out, spoiler alert, nobody's going home.
Yes, I love that. We're going to see more of these girls. I really like their personalities. So hopefully, you know, especially for the ones that haven't been able to really like get out there and shine, this will, you know, help them feel a little bit more secure in themselves and really bring us some more fabulosity in the next episode.
More. And we get Denali and Rosé named the top two. And Miss Kimura is just very happy to be safe. She is so relieved.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was worried for her too, so I'm happy to see that she's still here.
They both lip sync, they do great, and then the winner is Denali. And woo-hoo! So they get the song. It is If You Seek Amy by Britney Spears. Wait, have you ever done that song?
I have not, but do you know that it took me like 7 full ass adult ass years to realize what she actually meant by If You Seek Amy?
I know, Britney got dirty on us.
I know! We love Britney. Actually, I was just singing a little bit of Blackout to myself earlier today. You know how there was like the whole Twitter trend of like what feels like Shakespeare but isn't? And I could never quite think of that. So I never retweeted anything. But today I was like, I'm making some toast. And it was her lyrics from her song Hot as Ice. And it goes, cool as fire. Baby, hot as ice. If you've ever been to heaven, this is twice as nice.
See, Britney is the Shakespeare of pop.
Yes.
Well, I hope in her quarantine home, when she's not like dancing around her living room, her like stone marble floored living room, I hope she's watching this episode and enjoying the usage of her song.
You know what? I'm sure she'll be on that stone marble floor pretending to be an ice skating legend like Denali Fox.
Yes, because Denali, they both do a great job in the number. Rosé brings some comedy, but Denali just has moves. She's so sharp and precise and stuff. And boom, she nails it.
Denali. You're a winner, baby. Congratulations.
I fucking won. Like, oh my God, this is exactly what I wanted. It feels so good to just have something go my way.
Yes. And I mean, she really brought it. And I'm just so proud of her because she's such a sweetheart and she's worked so hard. And you know, I just love it. Love seeing Chicago girls do well.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a quick break then. And when we come back, we are going to talk Drag Race UK. All right, babe.
Miss Quarantina Turner, got you feeling down? Never fear, divas, because the WOW Podcast Network is here. Coming this year are brand new episodes of Your Fave Pods, such as mine, Girl Group Gossip, starring me, Cheryl Hole.
Hi, Cheryl. How's your hole?
Hole is worn out. How are you?
To the triumphant return of the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
Or as we like to call it,
Sheena, ready to hit her.
And not to mention bringing
tap dancing and that was this close to being the name of this show.
And with brand new podcasts from RuPaul's Drag Race UK, Crystal, and Season 12's Jackie Cox, the WOW Podcast Network will be the one-stop shop for all your drag-related podcast adventures. So for more deets, go to worldofwonder.com/podcast. Moose!
Okay, we are back with the legendary Shea Coulee, winner of All Stars 5, Queen of Chicago, and just one of the most fantastic, fashionable, stylish, talented queens in the world. Hello.
Thank you. I will accept all of that.
So are you a fan of the UK? Have you been to London much or other places in the UK?
Oh my God, love. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
UK just a few times, love, but it's really fun. I've met a couple of girls over there. Taste is a good friend of mine.
Oh, stunning, stunning. And have you had a chance to meet any of the Drag Race UK Season 1 girls? Your Cheryl Holes, your Vivians, your Bag of Chips?
Okay, so Cheryl Hole and I did like a little mini tour in the UK prior to her being cast on Season 1. And we had just such a fun time. I would actually, she talks about the fact that it was during that tour that she met her now fiance. Oh. And yeah, I know. And so I was there that night that they like made out and like left together. And yeah, I just like to think that I play Cupid somehow. And I didn't introduce them or anything, but I just like to think that my energy was what brought them together.
I believe, you know, you sort of like set the scene, you provide an atmosphere of welcome and warmth and magic happens.
Yeah, and then I just like found some way to cleverly slip myself in between the two of them.
Oh my God. I love Cheryl Hole so much. I think she's one of the funniest people, just period.
Yes, for real.
And you had a British gal on your season, Miss Charlie Hides.
Yes, we did.
Are you close? Do you keep in touch?
Oh, we're the best of friends. I actually make sure that I send her a Christmas card every single year.
Oh my God, I'm really bad. I didn't get my Christmas card sent out this year. I'm just like, whatever, it just didn't happen. Sorry, it's fine. But so Charlie, if you're wondering where mine is, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, no, I signed your name on mine too.
Gorge. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to kind of just bounce all over this episode, but what do you think in general of these UK queens? That's a really big question, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. What are your thoughts on seeing these girls?
What a colorful, just fun group of girls. Like they just, there are parts about each and every one of their drag that excites me. So I'm like, bravo to the casting for season 2, because these are some really cool girls.
I'm like the Loch Ness Monster.
No one in England knows who I am. I am the Susan Boyle of RuPaul's Drag Race UK. Because I dreamed a dream. I don't know the other lyrics.
So the first queen is Lawrence Chaney. She's Scottish drag royalty. I love that she says she's the Susan Boyle of Drag Race UK.
You better be the Susan Boyle, you know. And it's nice that we have a Glaswegian queen up in the mix. I've only been to Glasgow once, but I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the drag. And I actually made some friends there who came and visited me in Chicago like last summer. But yeah, no, there's a lot of talent in Glasgow. So I'm excited to see what she has in store for us.
very excited. And then the second girl who comes in bonks her head. And I love that that's in there. Cherry Valentine.
Yes, Cherry Valentine. I mean, honestly, there was this moment where I was like, they should probably, when they send out the list, also just let the girls know what the clearance is for the workroom door. Because there's some tall queens with some tall headpieces. And like, you know, Kim Chi barely made it through her season. And so here we have Cherry Valentine just fully, you know, losing her head first few seconds.
I know. I feel like Eureka probably has to scooch under any door she goes through. But like always on Drag Race, she's always having, because you know she's always got some big ass loaf or some gigantic headpiece.
Yeah, and then just got a duck every time.
And then in comes Tia Coffee.
It is finally time to spill the tea.
I'm just there to entertain the audience.
Who is like this skinny, festive, like delightful creature. I love, she made me laugh. She won me over in the beginning when she's explaining her name. She named herself after Tia Mowry and Kofi Annan. Which sounded much better than Tomorrow Boutros Ghali. I was like, oh my God, already I'm yours.
Yes, yes.
And then we get Bimini Von, I'm not going to say this right.
Oh my God, I love Bimini Von Boulash.
Yes!
Yes, I absolutely, for me, Bimini Von Boulash just rolls right off the tongue. As soon as the girls from season two were announced, me and my boyfriend could not stop referring to our dog. Her name is Baby, our dog, and we kept calling her Baby Von Boulash like the entire day. And she, and you know, look, I don't know, it's kind of sticking now. So she might be part of the house of Von Boulash as well.
Oh my God, her drag family is already, you know, just...
You know, expanding, you know, across the seas. She is an international dog, you understand?
And, you know, the Von Boulash is a vegan house, so it's animal friendly, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
I also just love seeing these girls. I'm going to say, these girls in their interview looks are the
style
most...
out the ass.
More than any cast ever.
Absolutely.
Every time they would pop up to introduce themselves in their interview look, I would like yelp or scream and be like, oh my goodness, they're so exciting to see, even, you know, not in drag, out of drag, in this interview moment. I was just like, these kids are bringing it.
Yeah, Bimini Von Boulash, what I love about her is she looks like one of like Pearl's illustrations, you know, both in and out of drag. I loved her with like the little urine yellow mullet with the leather beret and the no eyebrows. I was like, that's the look, you know, like she's everything.
Yes, I feel like the mini challenge is the interview looks or something. It's like, oh my God.
For real.
And also, thank you for using urine yellow, really?
That's what Lady Gaga called it when she, because she had her little urine yellow hair moment during the Fame Monster. So I just always call it that now.
Apt. Very good. And speaking of yellow, we get Miss Jenny Lemon, who apparently everyone else in the world knows her fanciest slice tagline, which I'm all here for.
I am Bob's, it's me, Jenny Lemon, fanciest slice!
Is she talking about a slice of pizza?
I'm presuming lemons, but she'll probably take any slice you give her.
Oh my God, that is so obvious and right. I guess if someone offered me a slice, I would say no. If someone offered me a slice of lemon, but I will always say yes to a slice.
And then we have Ellie Diamond, who is a towering beauty from Dundee, Scotland.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, we got two Scottish queens in here. And then I love that Ellie Diamond, is like a younger, newer queen, but also makes all their own hair and costumes and that makeup, too. Just like stunning, stunning, stunning.
Yeah, she's like a drag industry just walking in. You're like, bam, this is going to be exciting. Sister comes in, and she has like her nose and mouth painted and glittered. And see, these girls are giving us like super innovative looks, I feel.
Yeah, Sister, when she walked in, before even like revealing the little glitter on the mouth thing, I was just already vibing with like the really like 70s, like blouson sleeves and like the turtleneck with the ruffle. like just everything about it was really just like giving me fashion. And I loved that it was just like a little bit off. Like she really, you could tell, has an interesting point of view. And I was excited immediately to see like what else she'd bring.
Yeah, yeah. And then again, we cut to her in the interview and it's like a, this like delightful orange shirt and a scarf and just this, these kids are styling. I love it. And then we get Tace from Wales, who you know fashion. Tell me about Tace.
Oh my God. Tace is one of the most entertaining human beings I've ever met. Like I have had so many fun nights in London with Tace. She actually performed with me at DragCon UK on the main stage last year. She's a sweet girl. She's a fun girl. You know, she's got a really positive attitude. And also she's just singing. And the bitch can dance boots. Oh my God. Like I am so excited for people to see the moves that Tace has because she's fierce.
Yeah. And just like, and yeah. And just again, fun to watch. I'm so excited about all of them. Followed by Joe Black, international cabaret sensation, apparently.
I know what you're thinking. God, Glenn Close looks rough.
Yes, bitch!
Yes, yes. If I remember correctly, I think Joe Black may or may not have been there this one night at the Troxy in London where I literally got snatched by a doorframe. I was wearing a tall beehive. It was walking into my dressing room and like it got caught on the doorframe and it literally snatched my wig off my fucking head. And I'm pretty sure Joe Black was like right there like, damn. So shout out to you for that.
Was she helpful or just enjoying the spectacle?
She was there just like, totally shook because like I was literally, I had just come off stage. I performed my new song, Creme Brulee. I was feeling so sickening. You could not tell me I was not the baddest bitch in the house. And then immediately was humbled within seconds by a door frame. And like, I felt like all the queens were all like, yep, it can be like that for us sometimes too. You can be right on the top and within seconds, just like be reminded that, yeah, you're still just a man in a dress.
Oh my goodness. And I know Joe Black comes in with this kind of like Glenn Close, Sunset Boulevard, aura, Laura Swanson. Yes.
I wanted her to read my fortune so bad.
And then we get Veronica Green, who is so pretty. And again, I'm mesmerized by the interview look too, who's like this kind of childlike.
I was like, who let this little boy in here? Like somebody needs to come get his apple juice and his goldfish and like his babysitter because this show is a little bit too adult for this sweet little innocent child.
I know. And then in drag, she's like the third wife of somebody at the country club or something. And he's kind of like, I don't know. I'm so intrigued.
Yeah, no, I know. I forget exactly what the context was, but they were definitely trying to play up a sexual innuendo in her interview. And she's like, oh, stop it. He's trying to get me to talk about sexy things. And at that point, I love her.
Oh, it's like child protection. What's happening? Yes. And we get Astina Mandela, gorgeous, dancer, cocky too, which I like.
Everyone seems to know me. They're all gagged. I can hear it. I can feel it. You can feel the energy.
I will say that. Good luck in the lip sync against me.
Oh my God. I love a bitch with an attitude like that. As Tina walked in and I was like, that's my kind of girl. Like I love someone who just like knows who they are, has confidence in who they are. And especially too, like as a Black girl, to have that confidence, just knowing how hard it can be to just like love yourself, to see somebody in that position where they've overcome all the things that society does to like be in a place of like truly loving and believing in themselves. It's just so impactful. I love it.
And she won me over in her Meet the Queens thing too, because she was the one in sort of the brown look. Uh-huh. And she said she looked like a Jedi. And I was like,
yes. Yes. And it's so hard for me to not want to say ass Tina, but you know, I will get there. I will get there.
Forgive it me, is hard. Tina. Forgive us, we're Americans.
Forgive us, Tina.
Yeah. And finally, we have Ahura.
Oh my God. I mean, like, what little gay doesn't love a Wizard of Oz reference? I loved the way that she just really mixed it up. I love that she is a designer. You can tell in her aesthetic that she really, really has like a nice point of view, and she just looks sickening.
Yeah, no, it is such a fun group. It's very exciting. They get a mini challenge.
You love balls, don't you? Not these fucking balls.
It's a Wimbledon twist pun. They're suddenly in tennis outfits, having balls thrown at their face. They all kind of, you know, perform admirably. Lawrence Chaney wins the mini challenge because she's a funny bitch.
I would have loved to have done that mini challenge. I played tennis in high school, and ooh, I am somebody who has a lot of experience with balls flying at their face. And I just have never had the opportunity to fulfill that fantasy in drag.
Well, noted. I'll talk to someone about this.
Thank you.
So we're going to move on to the Maxi Challenge. The Maxi Challenge is they're presenting two looks. One is they have to present a gay icon, a UK gay icon, someone who inspired them in just their like gayness, in their drag, in their lives. And then, hold up, catch number two. There's a look number two. It's hometown queen of your hometown to represent where you are from, which you did on your season.
Yeah. So I was like feeling like a little twinge of nostalgia for like kind of like, you know, the hometown couture moment. And what I love about it is I feel like there's kind of like two ways to go about this runway. So it's normally like a piece of iconography, whether, you know, for me, it was the hot dog,
yes,
or for other people, it'll be normally like architecture, or the girls will find a way to really embody a woman that she would see in their hometown. So
yes,
those are kind of like two of the styles that you tend to get. And I just have to just jump straight into it and say that I absolutely loved Estina's presentation. We saw in the workroom, you know, we're like, ooh, there's going to be a little bit Naomi Campbell showdown between her and Tace. And I love
that I'm talking to you because you are the original Naomi Campbell from season 9.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, you know, we love some Naomi representation. And I always love to be surprised. And from what I had seen from Estina before, I was expecting something really bodycon, super sexy with the long hair and the really powerful panther-like strut. And then when she turned the corner and that Valentino couture-inspired look, I literally just felt shivers run up my spine. It was just such a moment. It was so powerful. It was unexpected. It was just beautiful. And it's probably going to be one of those runways that like lives in my mind rent-free for a very, very long time. And then when she came out with her East London girl that she says, you know, is talking on the speakerphone, on the phone, not on the bus, you know, going to the corner store to get eyes, like, I know that girl too. I know that girl too. So I just really loved it. And I felt that for me, Estina checked all the boxes on that runway this week.
Oh my God, who else stood out for you?
I would also have to say that Lawrence Chaney stood out for me because I really, really loved the latex stained glass moment that they did. I don't remember who their gay icon was. I'm not familiar with her. Sorry. I know that she's from the original Avengers. I'll have to.
As an old lady, Diana Rigg was on Game of Thrones. She was Lady Olenna, who was like,
I've never watched Game of Thrones. I'll catch up, I swear.
Yes. No, she was like a strong presentation either way. And the judges commended her, even on her Diana Rigg look, for it just being so polished and like detailed.
And then Ellie Diamond.
I chose Dennis the Menace for my hometown look because he was originally created in Dundee.
I really, 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 really loved the reference to Dennis the Menace. Is that like a Dundee thing?
I guess so. And I guess I remember I spent like a semester in London as a college student, and there's a Dennis the Menace there isn't the little like blonde child we had in like the cartoons here. Oh. It's this other like black haired kind of like bullyish looking kid with a red and black striped sweater, and he's always in trouble. I don't know why they share the same name unless somehow Americans took that character and turned it into something completely different. But yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, roguish bad kid or something.
Okay. I mean, I lived for it because, I mean, even though I'm used to a completely different Dennis the Menace, I still loved Dennis the Menace growing up. So I was just like, I love when people can make references to their childhood and find a way to kind of celebrate their inner child, because I feel like that's something that drag queens do a lot through their drag. Because as children, I feel like, you know, for many of us, we kind of existed in a world where we really didn't feel like we belonged. And we spent a lot of time just kind of like hiding. And I feel like a lot of times for drag queens, they get to kind of reclaim some of their childhood through their drag. And I loved kind of seeing a play of that in Ellie Diamond's presentation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was really strong across the board. And it was like fun themes, fun categories to be working with, because you got to also learn about people, and you get to see like a Kate Bush or a Boy George or two Naomi Campbells.
And then also shout out to Sisters Liverpool Woman, because I loved that too. The pajamas, the rollers, the messed up makeup, she loves a purse reveal. Like a purse face reveal. I'm starting to realize I'm into it, because I don't really see girls doing that.
But sadly, the judges weren't a fan. They thought it like still needed more. So she's kind of near the bottom.
I know. I was like really disappointed about that, because I really, really loved it.
I also kind of love, not only we have two Naomi Campbells, when we get to the hometown look, we have two like versions of like Robin Hood. I'm like, this is great.
And where they're from, Nottinghamshire. However you say it, Nottinghamshire.
Right.
Tia Coffey will tell me on, I know she's from Nottingham, but then Ahura was like Nottinghamshire. And I was like, the Shire.
Yeah, she's...
Yes, I'm from the Shire. I lived for, the archery moment. I was like, I did not know that Nottingham was like an archery kind of moment. But I mean, you learn something new every day. That's what I love about Drag Race UK. It's educational, because there are some things that I don't know that I have to go and Google.
It's so true. It's so true. I always enjoy watching with subtitles. I learn new words.
I Rue had me cracking up when she added in the second runway, and she's like, "Y'all didn't think I came over here just for bangers and mash."
I know. I love Rue so gleefully, like, kind of taking English phrases and puns and lines and just butchering them gleefully. Like, you think I'm going to do a little British accent for just a minute? No, I'm going to keep doing it. So just hang on.
Yeah, I, as someone who is also an Anglophile, I love how much fun RuPaul has with that.
Yes, yes. So anyway, there are we can't talk about everybody because we do not have time. But there are decisions made, and Miss, I'm not going to say Ass Tina. But
your name is Astina, but you know, Americans, we want to call her Ass Tina, don't
Astina.
We?
Astina.
Astina Mandela is the winner of the week. Bam.
Astina Mandela. Congratulations. You are the winner of this week's challenge.
Yes. And I mean, it was really well deserved. I just think that she absolutely nailed it on those runways. She sold it. So proud. Good job, girl.
Very good job. And then we get down to our bottom two. And it is Jo Black. They were not a fan of her Brighton Pavilion, which was just like gold and sparkly and ornate.
I know. And the David Bowie, I love Jo Black. I do. But that David Bowie fell flat for me as well.
Yeah. And then Bimini Bamboolash.
I know. Poor Bimini Bamboolash.
And I love that hoary footballer look.
Hell yeah. Oh my God. I was like, I would totally be smoking weed with her and under the bleachers at the game. Like, I would totally be hanging out with that girl. We would be like rolling around in her car listening to Paramore blasting Misery Business. I can see it now.
So good. So they got a lip sync, and I also love that UK, they always give you like British songs. It's like, yeah, UK musicians, which is like just a nice nod to like celebrate your people. Mm-hmm. So we get some classic gay ass Frankie Goes to Hollywood, which, yes, is really one of the gayest songs ever.
Yes. I love the irony of having someone lip sync for their life, like one of the most nerve-wracking things to relax.
Exactly. Like, as if.
You're like, I'll try, girl.
And then, dun dun dun, spoiler alert. So they perform. Bimini is like tumbling all over the place. She's afraid she's going to be popping out of that little skimpy outfit. Uh-huh. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. I didn't see nothing, but I'm okay with that. I support her no matter what happens. And she snatches it, so, which means the lovely and the very capable and apparently famous cabaret star Joe Black, however, is sent home.
Short blast, but a blast nonetheless.
I know. It's like, it's one of those things that someone who is as incredibly talented and multifaceted as Joe Black, like on Drag Race, all it takes is one bad day, which everybody has in their life. We have them all the time. And all it takes is one bad day, and that could be your ticket home. It's just insane.
It is insane. It's insane. I like, because you are sometimes surprised. Like, I remember, stay with me here, in season 6, I knew Kelly Mantle as this amazing comedian,
yes,
who was just so funny and like, you know, in life in Los Angeles at gigs, mm-hmm, and in shows. Mm-hmm. And I was so gagged that she, I mean,
they didn't like her bacon dress. So
no, it's not easy to make a look. So I was like, oh, you never know. A really, astonishingly talented queen can go home and boom.
Yeah, absolutely.
You never know. So are you going to be watching all of these shows every week, Shea Coulee?
Oh my God, hell yeah. Where else am I going to go?
And what are we going to have coming from you in 2021?
I'm working on something really super duper exciting. Next month, I don't think I'll get in trouble for saying this, but it's my first feature length film and I'm really excited. And I'm going to be like leaving the shoot on location for like 5 weeks. It's going to be really intense. It's going to be really challenging, but I am like super duper excited about it. So I can't wait for, everybody to see it.
See, that's amazing. Like, yes, we're in a crazy times, but you can make magic. You can, I'm so happy for you. That's so cool.
Yes. It's like, I'm so used to the COVID test now. It's just like, you know, my right nostril, she's good.
Oh my God. She's got her own merch.
Oh yeah, absolutely. She has some sneakers coming out soon.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Shea Coulee, thank you very much. Keep an eye on Miss Coulee. Follow Miss Coulee on all the socials. And be sure to watch Drag Race Season 13 on VH1 every Friday night
at 8 p.m. 7 Central.
Or via WOW Presents Plus if you are somewhere else on the planet outside the U.S. And you can watch RuPaul's Drag Race UK Series 2. I guess they call it Series 2 because it's British.
Yes.
On the BBC 3 in the UK.
Which premieres on Thursday, January 14th.
You can watch it via Crave in Canada and everywhere else in the world, including the United States of America, on WOW Presents Plus.
And if you still need another recap of Drag Race every week, watch my Extra Lap recaps of all of the Season 13 episodes on youtube.com/WOWPresentsPlus. That's the WOW Presents channel on YouTube. Or you can watch on WOW Presents Plus. Easy breezy.
Shea Coulee, thank you. I look forward to you to guide my thoughts and wisdom and take us through 2021 with positivity, power, and talent, and just your own radiant self. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure, John. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye.